8:50. I'll read the psukim again very quickly. Let's go back. I'm sorry. Pasuk on page 848. Page 848. V'hoya yom echad hu yivadah l'Hashem l'yayim v'loy l'ayla. There will be a day that will be known to Hashem. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaroi. Mr. Cohen, thank you for the coffee. Our boy side there is over here. There's some Danishes. Rav Meir has sponsored Le'ili Nishmas Mother. If you want,
see what you're missing if you don't show up.
If you want, we can text them to you. Just the same way we can text the voice. Why shouldn't we be able to text food? What's the difference between food and the voice and video? You text video, you should be able to text the food as well. Okay, Rabbi, so over here again, page 850, page 848, there will be a Yom Echad one day. We learned yesterday, Rashi, the Yom Echad is 1,000 years. Elef shanim be'einecha ki yom esmol. There will be Yom Echad hu yivoda l'Hashem. Now, it begins with the word v'hoya. V'hoya means it's certain to be yasmid. We learn in the Mitzudos that v'hoya means it will endure for an entire year. When it said back in the previous pasuk, there's going to be an event, but v'hoya b'yom ahu, that's when it will begin. There will be an event that will begin at a certain moment, but it will endure for an entire year, it'll be yasmid, for an entire day. And by a day, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is 1,000 years. Hu yivoda l'Hashem, it will be known to Hashem. It will be known, now hu yivoda l'Hashem means when this will occur, when this will begin. The haschalah of this 1,000 years. Okay, that's the way the Mitzvah stuff it said. When will be the time, when will be, it will be known to Hashem according to the Mitzudas, when it will begin. If you look back at the Mitzudas David, on the bottom of the page, Rashi disagreed with the Mitzudas David. Rashi says, "Hu yivoda, it is known." According to Rashi, this doesn't mean when it will be. "Hu yivoda" means shehu lehachonas yishav. It's not a matter of when. It seems that when is already predetermined. It means it will be known. I don't know what Rashi really means to say. Hu yivoda shehu lahachonas. It is for the preparation of the salvation of Hashem. See, it seems that Rashi and the Mitzudos are saying very different ideas. According to the Mitzudos, there will be a day. There will be a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrive and will bring about all of the events that are mentioned in the previous psukim. When will that day? How long is that day? Well, we don't know. That day can be 1,000 years, but when will it begin? Only Hashem knows when it will begin.
Or began.
Okay, our mayor is saying maybe it already began. Okay, we don't know. I mean, hindsight.
900 years ago,
we don't know what this means, but all, in other words, if you're going to say that all of the events that we learned in the last few days already happened, and these words are not necessarily meant to be understood physically, it's more of a conceptual ideas, then maybe it already happened. Only Hashem knows when it will begin. Rashi does not say that. According to Rashi, it seems to be pretty straightforward. If you go to a wedding and they tell you that today is 5,781 years, Brooklyn, New York, so the year 6,000, we know when it's coming. We know. Rashi says, so what then does it mean it will be known? It will be known seemingly how that on this day or this time it will be a process of preparation for Hashem to reveal himself. These are very esoteric ideas, which obviously I don't know. Then we go further. Lo yom v'lo laila. This day is going to be lo yom v'lo laila. According to Rashi, this parallels what it said in the previous pasuk. It's not going to be a time of kippah yoin and yikaros. It's not going to be bright. It's not going to be a time of clarity, of joy, and it's not going to necessarily be a time of korban. V'hoya le'eis. But one thing is for sure, that when it comes to the end of this tukufa, yihi ye'or, then there will be brilliance, there will be a light, there will be salvation. Hashem will reveal himself. Pasuk Hey. Ches, Pasuk Ches. Hoya bayom ahu yeitzu maim chayim et mirushalayim. Chesim el yamak hadmonim. Chesim el el hayom ho acharoin. Bakayitz uvachodef yeyeh. We learned yesterday with Chazara that recorded that this refers to the same mayon that was mentioned in Sefer Yoel and in Sefer Yecheskel, as we discussed yesterday, that there are different terms. It's called here Mayim Chaim, there it was called the Nachal, or called the Mayon, different ways to describe the same source of water. Half will turn to the east, half will turn to the west. That's something new. I do not believe we ever came across that, what we learned about when we described this Mayon, it going to the north, going to the east and the west. Here it says it's going to split. And then it says, Bakayitz v'rchav yehyeh, the waters not only will be continuously flowing, the waters will never dry. The intensity of the heat will not be able to cause the waters to evaporate, and in the winter they will not freeze. They will continue to flow. Their movement will not stop because they turn into ice. And then we have the pasuk, which is very basic pasuk to us. We say this so many times. V'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. And at that time, Hashem will be a melech upon the entire Eretz. Bayom ahu yihiyah Hashem echad u'shmo yachad. And Rashi over here tells us, what does it mean, Hashem echad u'shmo yachad? He tells us two ideas. Echad means, these are very important words. Rashi is always, you know, Rashi is the ikar of mefarish. And Rashi says, yihiyah Hashem echad means, shekolu umos ya'azu havlehem. All of the nations of the world will abandon their nonsense, their foolishness, and thus the default is Hashem is Echad. Rashi seems to be indicating that it's natural. It's a natural reality for a human being to acknowledge there is God. That's what really Rashi seems to be saying. It's natural. Why is it then that we have in this world other religions, and we have pagans, and we have atheists, and a whole complex combination of all of the above? Why is that so? It's because that's man's rebellious nature. Man is going up against the grain. He's going against what's natural. It's natural for man to acknowledge Hashem's existence, and a religion that creates, that adds other components into spirituality, or a religion that denies Hashem's existence, is something that's not natural. This is not a natural phenomenon. When you take away the rebellious nature, ki yetzer leif adam ra minu urav, and you take away all of the nonsense, then the natural default is v'hoya Hashem lemelech, because that's where it starts. You don't have to educate a person to teach them about God. It's a natural sense. I don't know if this is a medrash. It's extremely hard for me to accept this, but there's a medrash. I don't know if it's a medrash. I don't know where this comes from. I've seen this many times, and it says that if you put a person on a desert island, and he would just on his own speak, develop, and have a need to communicate, he would end up speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh. Do you accept that? It's a very hard concept to accept, that if you're living on a desert island, it's just natural, the purest language that you'll on your own come to speak will be Lashon HaKodesh. What? Okay, so what is it? Okay, right. What does it mean? What does that mean exactly? I mean, we on our level cannot really accept this to be taken at face value, to be taken literally.
It may not be the exact language, but the code of the language, the concept of God.
Right, the concept. I think it ties into this idea. It means, like what Rashi is saying, if you take away all of the nonsense, Trinity, as the Rambam says, the Meshugana Mohammed, calls him a Meshugana Mohammed, and you take away the atheists, people who are rebelling, what's natural? It's natural to connect to where you come from, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an element of holiness that every natural person has. And when all of the nonsense is removed, the interference is removed, Rashi is teaching us, V'choyo Hashem l'melech al kol aretz, b'yoy mahu yiyeh Hashem echad. Rashi, ein imo el nechor. There is no strange God with him. What do you mean? Someone has to teach man about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, that's not what it says. It says Hashem is always there to a person. We're talking even non-Jews, everyone, the whole world. It's they brought upon themselves craziness. Remove it, it's Hashem Echad. And the next words are also very explosive. Rashi's interpretation, Ushmo Echad, Sheyehei Shemoi Nizkar Befi Kulam. That it's natural to mention Hashem's name. And like we concluded yesterday, it's very telling when you hear even religious leaders, do they even mention Hashem's name? When you mention in politicians in America, it's always been, you know, on every single dollar bill. It's an amazing thing. On every coin until modern times, in God we trust. I mean, that's amazing. Study world history. Did they ever have in world history such a thing like this? To go put on a coin, the Shem Hashem? Now, I know, even though it says God we trust, their understanding of God is a very different understanding of our God, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a given. As I told you the story many times of the Israel, Avigdor Miller. How are you allowed to take money into the Beis HaKiseh? On every dollar bill, every coin, it says God, and God we trust. How could you bring the Shem Hashem into a Mokam Mitunaf, a place that's not clean? So he said, what they mean when they say in God we trust, their understanding of God is not a violation of taking the Shem Hashem into a Mokam of Kiddush, of that's not clean. Because unfortunately, their understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at such a diminished level. I think they did not have a very high opinion, obviously, of what the Goyim think of Kodesh Baruch. I would assume that some disagree. I would assume that there are people that disagree and hold that the Goyim do have more of an appreciation of monotheism.
Why not simply accept that they're referring to the Creator? They believe God.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So it's a hard thing to understand what Avigdor Miller said. It's the famous of Avigdor Miller. It's hard to accept what he said. I don't. So what's the answer? I don't know the answer. Why then are you allowed to take money? Because it's not. It's in your wallet. It's printed. It's not. It wasn't written by hand. It's printed. It's that stuff. It's just like photocopies. You're allowed to throw in the garbage a photocopy, even if it has Yudkei Vavkei.
Coins also says in God because.
Right. Every single coin. It's boiler, but even though it's boiler, it's not. It wasn't done by a human being. It was done by a machine. It wasn't done. There's no human input, and no one ever read it with kavanah to give it kedusha. It's no less than no different than taking photocopies and you go to every shul on the table. There are tzetlach. There are these little pamphlets, little paperlach of the parasha, Torah on the parasha. What happens to all of these things when Shabbos is over? You know where it goes? It goes into the garbage. Oh, but it's Shemos. How can you go put this in the Shemos? How can you put a Nusach in the Shemos? How can you go put the FJJ in the garbage? The FJJ is full of Divrei Torah. There is a lot of Divrei Torah in the FJJ. They have pages and pages of Divrei Torah. And the other magazines as well have pages. So how are you allowed to put this in the garbage? The answer is it has no Kedusha because it was never, it's just a photo offset. It's printed by a machine. It was not injected with Kedusha. And as long as you don't dispose of it, b'derech b'zoyin, it's permitted. So you wrap it up, you put it into a cardboard box. With the recyclables, it is permitted 100%. So I guess coins is the same thing. But the point is, it is really an amazing thing. I don't know the history of coinage, but I don't think in too many countries, in the world, all these glossy coffee book table books that show you different world history, and they show you coins from the ancient people, and there's always some image of a Caesar or a dictator or a famous leader. You never ever see anywhere on these illustrations and these pictures and in the museums that Hashem made his way onto a coin. Never. The people on the coin, they believed that they were God. Okay? If we have some politicians today, if they could, they would put their own image on our coins and tell us the same thing, that they really believe that they are God. So and yet in America, it's haloi davar. It's not a simple thing that that was established by people who are religious people, who have a hakara kodesh baruch hu. Haloi davar. It's not a small matter. And what's very, very sad is that this is going out the window, because every single day we rely upon coins and dollars less and less. Everything is electronic. Some countries have gone totally electronic. Okay, everything is plastic cards. I've never, ever seen a credit card that says on it, "In God we trust." Never. Have you ever seen a credit card? Never. Never seen such a thing. Bitcoins, all the cryptocurrencies, there's no such thing. It's all imaginary. There's no such thing as religion in money anymore. But it says here in this pasuk, "Ushemoy echad," that his name, sheshemoy nisgar b'fi kulam. When America was established, they put Hashem's name on the dollar bill. Certainly, there must have been someone who was a darshan, who came along and said, "Look, this has never happened before in history," and the whole world is using this. This became the dominant currency in the world. Is this not a fulfillment of what it says in the pasuk, "Ushmoy echad"? As Rashi says, "Sheyehei shmoy nizkar b'fi kulam," has to be someone. Someone made this connection, and
obviously, this is what made America unique.
And it's sad today, and I'm sure can comment that there are many people out there who are trying very hard to undo this. And
they can try, but
I hope you're right. I hope they sure seem to be making a lot of noise.
They're making a lot of noise, but now, as I said yesterday,
there's a pushback. Let's see how far it goes, the pushback.
Absolutely.
Empty cans make a lot of noise. Okay.
You never heard a Trump rally where God wasn't mentioned.
That's right. That was one of the things that struck me in the very beginning when Trump became president.
Israel, even in a completely non-Jewish audience, Israel always gets a nomination.
That is something that right away struck me. His not embarrassed, no, with he says God with no shame whatsoever. All the other politicians, you get the sense they're embarrassed. If they'll even do like Obama. It's like, I have to satisfy some of these people, so no, I'll say it when I have to. And I told you, Mike, I don't mean to criticize the Prime Minister of Israel. I don't know whoever it is now. I'm a little confused who's the Prime Minister, but Bibi Netanyahu, I was always disappointed. What can I tell you? I was disappointed. Disappointed, why? I'm not just telling you, I'm telling from other people, is that, why? What are you embarrassed? What are you embarrassed to mention the shame? No one's asking you to go say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Don't be less than America. In America, they conclude every political speech, "God bless America." So figure out something.
I just want to mention today's Hamel via front page headline: "Israel's religious values are thrown into the trash."
You can't bring a riot in the Hamodia. The Hamodia has an agenda. Hamodia is a Gera newspaper. You can't bring a riot from the Hamodia. They're no Gera.
Gera newspaper in America. It's just a newspaper.
They're not. It's not them that they have.
Does Gera believe in God we trust? They like it.
It's not. I don't. The Haredim are obviously very upset about one thing only. And I would be also. Money. Money. This new government is going to take away all their money. That's what it's all about. It's not about religion.
That's pretty serious.
It is serious. These people live. They're on the verge of starvation, literally, mm-hmm. literally. But it's not about religion. It's about money. And it's very, very sad. It's extremely sad. And I know people that unfortunately, my own family, that mamas, they need the stipends. Literally, we're talking about stale bread. But it's not about religion. It's about money.
There's no connection.
No, there's no connection. I don't think there's any connection. It's about money. It's very, very sad that this community does not have the means to support themselves. Whatever the reasons are, it's a terrible, terrible tzara. and they're vulnerable because they need, they're at the mercy of the government to provide them with their basic sustenance, the basic elements. And that's what it's about, period. And it's not about oh, they're going to change the conversion rules. They're going to change Shabbos. There can be buses now going in Yerushalayim on Shabbos. And they're going to change the laws of conversion. And they're going to change, and they're going to put into the Rabbanut people that are this and that. Yeah. Okay, fine. But you know something? It doesn't make a difference anyway, because in this community, they anyway don't acknowledge what the Rabbanut does. They're anyway so far removed from the State of Israel's religious services. So it doesn't really mean, that's not really the issue. So don't make belief. What are you making believe it's about religion?
Well, Shabbos and Kashrus and drafting Yeshiva boys is pretty serious stuff.
They'll never go to the army no matter what you do. They will not go to the army. No matter how many laws you pass, it's water off a duck. When you're going to arrest half the country, they're not going to go. It's a tragedy. It makes a lot of tension, but it's not right, in my worthless opinion, to talk about this and ignore what the truth is. The truth is, it's money. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all. And that's because the other things are issues. Religion obviously is an issue in the holy Eretz Yisrael. You don't want to have a. You know, there are a lot of things that go on there in Eretz Yisrael they don't talk about. It's terrifying that they're going to starve them to death. That's what they should write about in the newspaper, that they're going to starve us to death. And they should not write in the front pages that the religious values of the state are going down the drain. Because that was never an issue about the religious values of the state. We live in our world, you live in your world, you do your thing, we do our thing, and if we can push you to be more religious, that's a very beautiful thing. Kir v'chaykim. But the headline should not be, oh, now with the new government, the religious values are going down the drain. The headline should be, we're in a lot of trouble because we're going to starve to death. That's what the headline should be. This is all a facade, and that's not emes. MS, you see what happens in this country when you start going down the path of Sheker. Everything becomes. All right, let's not talk politics. It's not none of my business. Let's go get carried away over here. Let's go to the Radak. The Radak back on page 849, the Radak v'yomechad, oisa yom miyuchol Hashem sheivoda by givu roisav uvinifli roisav sheyasa boisa yom. The Radak is saying a little bit different than we learn in Rashi and the Mitzvot. This day is going to be a wonderful day in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it known His might. Everyone over here, Avi is struggling with to translate the word Yivoda. Yivoda means it will be known. It's the future tense. The Yud makes this word into the future, and Da means knowledge. It will be known La Hashem, to Hashem. What will be known to Hashem? Mitzudois. When the moment will begin. When the moment will begin. Rashi says something very vague. It will be known to Hashem that this will be the preparation for salvation. I don't know what those words mean, but that's, I'm just translating. The hachana for the salvation. The Radak is a bit more clear. The Radak, does provide a bit more clarity, and he says Yivoda means it will be known in this world, it seems, Shivoda bo givu roisav uvenifli roisav sheyaseh bo'isa hayom. It seems that the subject of Yivoda is not Hashem, it is the world. It will be known to the world, la Hashem, he's translating loosely the gvura and the wonders of Hashem. It will be known. Lo yom v'lo laila. Next words in the Radak on the next page. Lo yom v'lo laila. Lo yihye kulo yom v'lo yihye kulo laila. It's not going to be entirely day, not going to be entirely night. Kulo yom. Lo yihye kulo tzara v'lo yihye kulo rivocha. This is the same idea that everyone says. The word yom v'lo laila here does not mean literally night and day. It means yom is a metaphor for joy, and Laila is a metaphor for Chorban. It's not going to be low. It's not going to be entirely one more time. The words lo yekula yovel yekula laila kolama lo yekula tsara. It's not going to be reverse of the order. It's not going to be tsav lo yela revacha or represents revacha. It represents room to wiggle, salvation, and laila represents chorban. V'hoya le'es erv yehar le'es hatsara hagedoyla sheyetsei chatzi ha'ar bagoyla. At the time of the Sar Gedoyla, when half of the city goes out into Golus, Oz the Yotza Hashem Minulcham Agoy Mohem. So he's saying over there, in the middle of this Tsara, what is the Tsara? Le'es Erev. He's going back to what we learned a few days ago, that half of the city will go into exile. And when this will happen, half of the people will be in, this is going to be a very great Tsara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear and he will save them. Pasuk Ches, V'hoye Mayim Chayim. Now we're going to the spring. Hush Nemar B'nevuas Yoel, U'mayon Mibeis Hashem Yetzei, V'hush Nemar B'nevuas Yiches, L'videi Mayim, they are Mayim Mifakim. Mifakim means it's the size of the opening of a flask. This Pasuk is describing one of the stages. The water starts out as a teeny, teeny little trickle, the size of the antenna of a grasshopper, the size of a teeny little hair. This is how it starts out. Then it gets a little bit bigger. It turns into the size of a cord, a shesi ve'erif of a cord. Then it gets a little bit bigger. It turns into the size of the opening of a container, a pach. V'nemar sham shehoyu lenachal gadol. It gets bigger. It turns into a stream. Hakol kamo shekasav sham. So basically, just saying over here that he's doing exactly what Rashi did. That this spring over here that's being mentioned over here in Sefer Zechariah is identical to the spring mentioned in Sefer Yechezkel and Sefer Yoel, as we said so many times. That all of the Nevi'im saw the same movie. They saw the same thing. It's not that each one saw a different event. They saw the same thing, and each one had a different focus. What appealed to them, what was relevant to them, is what they expressed in words for us, for posterity. And as we said again, each one described this as different words. It's called a mayon. Is it called a nachal? Is it called mayim chayim? Everyone had a different terminology to describe the nature of this spring. Half of the stream goes to the Kadmoini, the Yam HaKadmoini. What is the Yam HaKadmoini? HaMizrachi. And then the other half goes to the Yam, the Acharon, which means HaMaravi on the west, Hush Nema B'Nevuas Yecheskel Ubohu Hayama El Hayama. I guess that is the Mediterranean. What else would it be? You want to say that it goes all the way to the Atlantic? Is that what it means? You want to say that the Mizrach, when you want to say such a wild idea that the water is only going, see, in Yecheskel, it seems the water is only going in one direction. It's only going to the west. It doesn't seem to indicate in Sefer Yechezkel that it's going to the east. But here it says the east. So can you suggest something wild to say that the east here means the Mediterranean, because it's east relative to the Atlantic. And the west is the Atlantic. It's going to go travel all the way to the... Because the Sefer Yechezkel doesn't say anything about the east. It says the Yam's going to go turn, I think, steers us to the west. And here it says half goes to the east, half goes to the west. Could that possibly mean that we're talking about two giant bodies of water, and the one that is east, it's called east because relative to the Atlantic, and the water is going to travel across the Atlantic to save the whole world, even us here in America? Is that what it means? Not likely, but who knows?
East meaning Pacific.
So you want, yeah, but before you get to the how do you get to the Pacific? But you have a lot of land to cross over. Maybe you're right. Mr. Merlis wants to say maybe the east means the Pacific. It's going to go over the entire Iraq, Iran, to the Orient, all the way down there to China somewhere, and then it'll make its way into the Pacific. Is that what it means? Who knows? Let's see. V'haya, further over here, b'kayitz v'char v'yitzchak, it's going over here in the summer and in the winter. Yehyeh moitza'am, it will go forth. Shelo yivshu eila hanacholam v'lo yichazvu meimeim, the waters will not dry up. And they will not lie. See, here's the word yechazvu. A lie, this is the word which we spoke about this many times, is that the word kazav means intermittent. It means it's not continuous. We always talk about this in the ksuba. If you go to a wedding, so what is the nusach? What do you say in the nusach of the ksuba? We always repeat this: is v'ano oiker ve'ezoin ve'afarnis yisechi lechi. I will give honor. I will provide sustenance. You say you ki hilchois govern Yehudoin like Jewish men. The oikrin that give honor. The oikrin v'zonin umefarnisin es neshechon their wives bekushta with truth. What in the world does that mean? Like good Jewish men that give honor and provide sustenance to their wives with truth. Truth. Who's taking here a lie detector test? Did you ever see someone under the chuppah? Wait a minute, Rabbi Yossi. Before we sign the ksuba, we bring in some of the big experts from the NSA, from the CIA. They're going to give the chassan a lie detector test. Did you ever see that under a chuppah? Why don't we do that? He's writing here, Bikushta. What? What do you mean got this far? But it's not, what did you say? He can say whatever he wants. What does that mean? Bikushta. Mark, the next wedding, I assume you're going to stop the ceremony in the middle and say, excuse me, we have to do a lie detector test to see what's going on over here.
Or at least truth serum.
At least what?
Truth serum.
What's truth serum?
Are you kidding?
Then he'll see how beautiful the color is.
So what does it mean? The answer is, we just read the answer. It says over here, the waters are not going to dry up. Not in Bakayitz uvachoref yihiyeh. Radak, he told us what it means in the Ksuba. The Radak over here says, Shalo yivshu, eile, hanecholim. The necholim will not dry up. Velo yichazvu meimehem, their waters will not lie. Mayim kezovim means waters that lie. They're not continuous. MS means continuously, no breaks. The chassan says, I will give honor and I will support my wife continuously, every single day for the rest of, constantly.
A constant.
No chassan cannot say to his wife, you know what? I am not providing you, I've provided you already for 20 years, I need a break. I'll see it. I'm taking a month off. I'm going away. And you're on your own. I'm not paying any of the bills. You figure out. I'll be back in a month. But for 1 month, I will not support you for 1 month. That's what it means. You're not allowed to do that. It has to be bekushta. Kushta means constant. Constant. There is no moment where you can take a break from your obligation to give honor and to provide food and shelter. No. Mayim kezava means water. Sometimes there's water, sometimes there's not. You go to the gas station. Is there gasoline today to fill up the car? Well, sometimes yes, sometimes not. Sometimes you press the button and it works. Sometimes it says it's out of order today. That's called gasoline kezavim. It's not reliable. In many countries, electricity is not reliable. Okay, you wake up in the morning. Is there electricity? Well, sometimes yes, sometimes not. We don't have enough electricity to provide for the entire country. So we alternate. Sometimes we give this neighborhood electricity and sometimes this neighborhood electricity. We alternate. The electricity is not reliable. It is not constant. Water is not constant. Mm-hmm. Electricity is not constant. Energy is not constant. Food is not constant. It all depends on the situation. MS, Kushta, means constant. There's nothing to worry about. That's what it means in the Ksuba, and that's what it means over here. When Mashiach will come, there's going to be water coming forth from the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's going to make a turn half to east, half to the west, and the water will be constant. It will not dry up in the summer, and it will not freeze in the winter. We know for a fact that from satellite maps, in Eretz Yisrael, it's down in the south, coming out of Egypt, there used to be massive channels of water. There were rivers all over the place. And now there's nothing. What happened to all these wadis? Hundreds of wadis all over the place. Big, small. And you can see from satellite maps the indentation in the earth, how they ran. It's clear as day that for hundreds of years, maybe whatever, it's nice and voracious, there was a force of water which made an indentation in the earth. What happened to all these waters? Where did they all go? Gone. They'll tell you today, global warming. Maybe it's taka true. Who knows? No one knows any of this stuff. What is this all about? There's a shift, there's a change in how the world, what happened to all of these wadis? Where did they go? The water was a lie. The water was there yesterday, and it's not here today. When the Mashiach will come, there's going to be a new source of mayim that will come forth, and this water will never ever dry up in the heat of the summer, and it will never freeze in the coldness of the winter. It will always be available. Next, V'hoi Hashem leMelech. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. V'yodas in Tergim. Okay, V'yodas in Tergim. I'm still in Pasuk Ches, in the middle of Pasuk Ches, right smack in the center. B'keita uv'sisva yehoin nafkin, in the summer and in the winter they will go forth. Yehoin they nafkin means they will go forth. V'chasav hechacham Rabbi Avraham ibn Ezra, he's on the page here as well, Zal. Kizach ha'kayitz v'chayv l'fi shem tekubas yiveishois. In the summertime, obviously, the heat caused the water to evaporate very, very quickly. And I don't know what that means. Any scientists here? And in the wintertime, it's very cold and it's dry. What does that mean? I understand that
it freezes up, but
there's evaporation. Yeah.
Either it dries up or is. In any case, it's not constant.
See, the Mitzudois told us, Rashi, I don't remember, when it says the winter means kafui. He explicitly said it freezes. When it freezes, it is no longer movement. It's not going to reach the destination. You're not going to be able to have access to the water because before it gets to you, it already froze. So it was clogged up. He doesn't say it over here. He says, V'achav kodim, it's cold, vivei shim, and it's dry. Is there some chemical property that I'm not aware of that when the water freezes, it's something, I don't know. No, we do know that ice evaporates. There is such a principle that ice evaporates. Is there some very deep scientific analysis here being taught us by the Ibn Ezra? Maybe. But whatever the situation over here is.
But it upsets the constancy of.
Right. That's for sure. That's a given. That's a given. The question over here is, what is it over here? What are these words over here, Ibn Ezra?
It doesn't
that
mean it doesn't happen at all. It doesn't have to here.
Okay. Ve'ele hayamim yachshu haneres. The rivers are lacking. Pasuk tes. V'hoyashem lemelech. Kishayiru hagoyim haboyim al Yerushalayim. Ele hanifloyis hanizkadois. Yakiru ki Hashem hu amolech al kol aretz. The world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. U'mashkiach betachtoin. He is a lot of bear over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mashkiach. He is the mashkiach. He is the one that provides divine providence. V'oyseh bohem kiritzoinai. There was once a Rosh Hashiva. And he was a Rosh Hashiva. But for some reason, the Talmidim, they called him the mashkiach. They called him the mashkiach. And his wife was very upset. Why the Talmidim are calling the Rosh Hashiva the Mashkiach. It's a true story I'm telling you. I'm telling you, this is so true, you can't even believe it. I can't tell you the details. And one boy called up the house, and the Rebbetzin answered the phone, and the boy said to the Rebbetzin, may I please speak to the Mashkiach? The Rebbetzin said, I'm sorry, we don't sell milk here. Have a nice day. Hung up the phone. The boy called back and said, may I please speak to the Rosh HaYeshiva. Oh, of course. Let me get him for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mashkiach. It doesn't say anywhere, B'chol HaTorah Kula, in any Maim Chazal, in any Zohar, in any, you name it. Never is Hashem called a Rosh HaYeshiva. But Hashem is continuously being called a Mashkiach. Hashem is always called a Mashkiach. It says over here, the world will see, Ki Hashem hu hamelech al kol aretz, Umashkiach. Hashem is the Mashkiach. He is the overseer. He is the one that provides divine providence. He's the Mashkiach.
Hashkocha.
Mashkiach means you oversee. You're an overseer. Yeah. A supervisor. An overseer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called we'll Hashkocha Pratis. Micromanage our lives. Hashem micromanages Pratis. Prat means micro. Every little detail. Hashem is the Mashkiach. He is the overseer, the manager, the supervisor. He is the cause of why things happen. It doesn't mean Hashem controls us. We know that goes against the basic fundamentals of Yadus. Every man has bechira chofshis, freedom. Okay, this world is not a communist state. It's not that Hashem did not make this world to make us that we should have, should be communism, and everything that we do is controlled. Hashem gives man free will. But yet, although we have free will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He helps us. And He helps us in every dimension, even in the most, the prote protem, the smallest details, Hashem is there. Hashkocha protis, Hashem is a mashkiach. He's not a rosh hayeshiva. It's very interesting. Today, if you call someone a mashkiach, they get insulted. Because the mashkiach has a bad reputation. Mashkiach, what does the mashkiach do all day? You talk to people. What's so terrible? You help people. You help people with their problems. Many mashkichim do a lot more for people than Rosh Yeshiva. So Rosh Yeshiva gives a shir. No, you give a nice shir, have a nice day, collect your check, 9 to 5. A mashkiach, he helps you get through life. He's the one that deals with all the tzaras, all the problems. Today, the truth is, there's no such thing as today. It's all wrapped up. It's the global melting pot we live in today. It's all the same. The Mashkiach is the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva is the Mashkiach. It's all the same. It's part of the global melting pot of this world. It used to be in the European yeshivas. It was Davar Yodua. And the European yeshivas, the one that the boys, the one who molded the Talmidim, was the Mashkiach. The Alter from Slobodka, he was the Mashkiach. The Alter from the Vardik. And then they hired someone to give a shir. He was the Rosh HaYeshiva. He wasn't, even with Lubavitch. Lubavitch, who, this is the Rebbe. And who was the Rosh HaYeshiva? Rav Gustman. Rav Gustman, in the beginning, Rav Gustman was the undisputed, you read about it in history, he was the undisputed Godol Hador. There was no one greater than him. And Lubavitch chapped him. The Lubavitcher Rebbe chapped him to be the Rosh HaYeshiva of Chabad. But you don't hear about him. There's the Rebbe. The Rebbe, whether it's the Riatz, whether it's Rav Nachman Mendel, the Rebbe. The Rebbe is the Rebbe. The Rebbe is really the Mashkiach. That's what it is. He's the one that, you know, he's your father. He takes care of everything. And then they have to learn Torah. So you have a mechanic. The car needs an oil change. You go to the mechanic. You need to learn Torah, so you go to the Rosh Yeshiva. He'll give you a good shir. But the one that's the Mashpia is the Mashkiach. The Rosh Yeshiva was not a choshev thing. In America, I don't know how it changed. Somehow it changed. It turned the other way. I didn't even read the article yet. But Rav Michal's Rebbe is Rav Kalbach. Rav Kalbach, he's a Davin Mamish in this room. For decades.
Where you're sitting, he sat near the wall.
He sat right on the wall. Okay, he sat Mamish right on the wall right behind me. Rav Kalbach, he wrote Maskil Shlomo. Incredible Svarim. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. A Goyin Shebe Goyinim. So they wrote him up. This, I didn't read the article yet. I have it over. I didn't read it yet in the Mishpacha magazine. So he was the Mashkiach in Chaim Berlin. He was raised
online also.
They have the whole article online? Because sometimes they don't put the whole article, they just put part of the article. I don't see.
No, as far as I know.
Is the whole thing there?
That's what I sent you.
So he was raised by Rav Hutner. He mamish, he came to, I think he was 16 years old, he came to America, Rav Hutner took him into his home, he raised him like a child, and then he became, he made him then, after Chaim went through a whole number of Gilgulim, and they opened up a building over here on Coney Island Avenue. It was years later, so it was way before my time. I have no idea this era. He made him the mashkiach, and he made Rav Aaron Schechter the Rosh HaYeshiva. Now Rabbi Kallis, who used to come to the shir, Rav Kalbach was his rebbe in Chaim Berlin, and he was intimately.
He was rebbe in Eastern Park.
Eastern Parkway, but so he was he's intimately familiar with all the details of this era. What went on? And he explained to me something very, very fascinating, that when they opened up this building here in Chaim Berlin, on Coney Island Avenue, so Rav Chudner didn't really, this is what he's told me, didn't really plan to stay around here. His dream was to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was already after some very difficult tzukufas. The yeshiva went bankrupt basically twice. And they were in Far Rockaway for a very short time. It was a disaster, and there was no yeshiva. And I don't know. The Balabatim wanted to try something new, so they tried. They opened up over here. They had no idea how successful it would be, and they opened up a yeshiva. But Rav Chutner, at that point in time, his heart was set to go to Eretz Yisrael. And everything I'm telling you is Rabbi Kallis told this to me in very great detail, and he really, really knows, because he was very, very close to Rav. He is very close to Rav Kalbach. And Rav Chutner, he had a separate yeshiva, so he appointed two of his prized talmidim to lead the yeshiva. Rav Kalbach was going to be the mashkiach, and Rav Aaron Schechter was going to be the rosh yeshiva. Rav Chutner was an old timer; he was from Slobodka, and in Slobodka, who is the main person? The mashkiach, and who is the second fiddle? The Rosh Hashiva. Rav Kalbach was to be basically the main mashpia on the Talmidim as the mashkiach. It's very hard to say, because we don't understand today. This whole thing doesn't exist. This whole concept doesn't exist today. And these are going to be the two, like the old-fashioned Slobodka Yeshiva, Rav Kalbach and Rav Aaron Schechter. And then at some point in time, Rav Kalbach, he left. Okay, whatever that means, whatever.
Who knows what happened?
Whatever. Okay, let's not get involved. I don't know those parts. I don't know.
But from that point on, as I like to say, Chaim Berlin's loss is my gain.
Okay. And that point, okay, they replaced the role of the mashkiach. But when that happened, basically that tekufa already became like all of the other American yeshivas. And all the other American yeshivas in America, who's the boss? The boss is the Rosh HaYeshiva. The definition of mashkiach has been completely abandoned, or has completely taken on an entirely different role and meaning. So when he was no longer in the yeshiva, when he left the yeshiva, so Rav Aaron Schechter, he was the Rosh HaYeshiva, so he remained the Rosh HaYeshiva, and the appointed a new mashkiach, Rabbi Groner. Remember, I Groner very well. Zechet Sak Levracha. And Rav Aaron Schechter, Yibod L'chaim Tov Maruchim, so he's the Rosh Shiva. But it took on the basic perception that every other yeshiva in America has today, is that who's the boss? The boss is the Rosh. And who does the paperwork, the administrative work? Who's in the dormitory, who's not in the dormitory, that's what's done by the mashkiach. That's a new modern thing, but it's not the way it was. Back in the traditional yeshivas, pre-war Europe, the mashkiach had much more influence over the boys than the Rosh HaYeshiva. So I just want to point out that the Ribbono Shel Olam is never called in Chazal a Rosh HaYeshiva. He's called a mashkiach. Hashgach HaKlolis Anashkocha Protis. Mashkiach Bein Hachaloinois. Meitzitz Menacharak. It's a very Shapasik. It's a Mamash Shapasik. Hashem is Mashkiach Menachaloinois. Meitzitz Menacharakim. Okay? So, that story about the person called up the Rosh Hashiva, and he called up and said, may I please speak to the Mashkiach? I'm sorry, we don't sell milk here. That's only stuff that could happen in the 21st century, the 20th century, 21st century. That's not something that could have happened back in pre-war Europe. Then it would be just the opposite. Anyway, if you call him Rosh Shiva, they would say, excuse me, Rosh Limbaugh doesn't live here. You would call back for the Mashkiach, not for the Rosh. All right, you don't. That's another story. I'm alluding to another story that I told you many times. Let's go back to our pasuk over here. V'hoya Hashem l'melech haaretz, and one more time, pasuk test. Kishiyiru hagoyim haboyim al yushlam ha'elu ha'nefles ha'nikoris yakiu ki Hashem hu ha'melech al kol haaretz u'mashkiach. And Hashem is the mashkiach. Batachtoinim. V'oysim hachem ki ritzoinoi. V'hatevoyim hoifech la'asayis ritzoin yiriyof. Science. Science is at Hashem's will. Ki akol ma'ase yadav, everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an explosive statement, because today, unfortunately, every single day in the news, if you pay attention to the news, every single day we learn that really science is not science. Science is, means just a new word for politics. Whatever that means. Hopefully one day that will be corrected. But nature is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
There's no one else. He's saying
something very similar to Rashi, not exactly. Achris, I'm turning to the next page. Page 853 on that day. Achris, I will cut down the Shemois Ho'atzabim in Aretz. I will cut down the name of the idols from the earth. They will no longer be remembered. An idol is always called sadness. A false ideology leads to sadness. So he basically said, like, basically what Rashi said, not exactly, but the same idea is that on that day, the whole world will come to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will abandon their foolish idols. Now he quotes the Hachacham, the wise man, Rabbi Avraham ibn Ezra, Perishu b'shem ha'mafari shahu shem ben arba oisiyos. Okay, he's telling us over here another pshat, which is a very basic pshat. I think so. Over here, said yes, I remember Mayevsky mentioned this, that this is what it says in the, see that, isn't amazing? The moment he walked in, I said his name. He just walked into the room and I said his name. So that's very bizarre. I didn't see him, maybe that caught my eye, but he told me from the Barbadella means, Hashem is Yud K. The way Hashem's name is spelled is Yud K Vav K. And how is Hashem's name pronounced? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Today, Hashem's name is not one. We write in the Sefer Torah Yud K Vav K, but we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So it's not one, it's two. There's a way to spell Hashem's name, and there is a way to pronounce Hashem's name. Le'osel lavo, it's going to be echod. The way Hashem's name is spelled is the way it's going to be pronounced. The nikud, I don't know what this means, because the nikud, if you go look in it, you look in a chumash. It's very interesting. If you go look in a chumash, let me take a step back. In the art scroll of Sidur, whenever they print Yud K Vav K, there are no nikudos. They leave out the nikudos. I do not know why.
They don't want to be nichshel.
Okay, fine. But see, the nikudos are not the real. They do. No, I think they do. I think that you're right. They don't. They don't. Right. No. So the reason as well is
the reason why,
I think the two yuds is for a different reason. The reason why there are two yuds in many of this doom is because it's shameless. Right. If the severity of Yud K Vav K is much greater than any of the other shameless. Elokim, Kelt, Tzvokos, all of those names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they are Kodesh, but they also can be used in the context of choil. So if you throw it in the garbage, it's not the end of the world, because the name is not exclusively used for Hashem. Yud K Vav K is the exception. Yud K Vav K is never ever used for anything that is mundane. Elokim means power. Ad Elohim Yavoi Dvar Shneim. lo yelcha Elohim acherim. Kel yesh le'el yodi. There's power to my hand. Tzivakois, well, we have the tzivakois Hashem. We have Lubavitch Hashem. They also, you know, tzivo hagonali Yisrael, the Israeli Defense Force. All of the shemos of Hashem, b'li yotzim in haklal, can be used in a mundane context. Yud kei vav kei cannot. Yud kei vav kei, those letters, those four letters, no, it's sacred. Therefore, the printers, this is what I read, they were advised, do not put in your siddur yud kei vav kei, because you're playing with fire. This is sacred, and you know, a sitter sometimes ends up in a place where it should not be, ends up in the bathroom, ends up in the garbage, ends up in a makom bezayon. Don't play around with Hashem's name. Don't, you know, oh, but what we have Elohim, Kel, Tzivakos. Okay, you have to write a sitter, you know, the sitter is a holy book, but those names don't have that same intensity as Yud Kei Vav Kei. So don't do it. I made this mistake. I didn't know this. How did I learn this? I made this card I once showed you for Al HaMichya. So I, in my ignorance, I put on the card Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then I showed it to one of the editors. And he said to me, you're a shaita. You don't put on a card Yud Kei Vav Kei. Don't you know that? Where have you been? Didn't you go to the grade school? The card will end up in the garbage. This is a card. This is not even a sefer. You put a card, has Al HaMichya, has a, where is it going to end up? It'll be in the garbage before you turn around. That's life. That means you're going to be causing Yud Kei Vav Kei to go into garbage. Okay, the world will come to an end. It's printed, this, that. But on a card, something that's likely to go in the garbage, you put two yuds. Oh, but the sitter, the article. Okay, a sitter is more substantial. There's a book, it's binded, you know, we live, Baruch Hashem, in a very, today we're Machsh of Svarim, so they're ready to tell them, like, to put Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, what about the Nikud? So the Nikud they have in the old Sidurim, if you notice, is, what is the Nikud? It's the pronunciation of A, Do, and Ikomats. The Nikud of Yud Kei Vav Kei that you will find in this Sidurim that do have a Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Nikud of not of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It is the Nikud of make believe instead of those four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, there is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. If you had an Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, what vowels would you put? You would put a Patach, A, you would put a Cholam, Do, and you would put a komatz. Those vowels, patach, cholam, komatz, appear in aleph, in yud, kei, vav, kei. Look in a sitter. Those are the vowels. Why are those vowels there? That's a reminder to you, the reader, do not read yud, kei, vav, kei in any convoluted way you can possibly come up, make, but instead, pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei as if there is an Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and then it would be A, Do, and then the syllable Noi. So the vowels that you see in Yud Kei Vav Kei are not the vowels of how to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. I don't know what they are. Probably some Kabbalah safe will tell you how to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. There are four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and there's a way to pronounce it. I do not know the real way to pronounce it. Certainly there are Sfarim that tell you how to pronounce it, but the vowels that you see in an ordinary sitter telling you how to pronounce it, that's not the real way to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. Those vowels are the vowels of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Reminding you, Loi Kish Ani Nichtav Ani Nikra. The way that you pronounce my name, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe said to Hashem, what's your name? So Hashem said to Moshe, Ze Shemi Le'olam, Ze Zichri Le'dor Dor. This is the way you spell my name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but this is how you're going to pronounce it, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud.
That's why we have those nekudos. But v'chayu Hashem lemelech al kol aretz, bayama hu yiyye Hashem echad, yudke vavke, ubi echad. There's no longer going to be a difference between the pronunciation and the spelling. We're no longer going to say aleph, dalet, nun, yud. We're going to pronounce it. I do not know what the pronunciation is, but it's going to be the pronunciation that will capture the letters themselves of yud, kei, vav, kei. That's what it means. This is what the Baruch Null says, and this is what over here what he's telling us in the name of v'chein achochem hagodol. Let me read over here. Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra is al perush b'shem afarish. Shushem ben arba oisios v'chein kasav u'shmayechad hu Hashem hanichbod hanoida. Whatever however it's supposed to be pronounced. That's the Rambam. The Rambam, Perisha B'Shem HaMafarosh, the Pasuk here, Hashem Echor, referring to the word Hashem's name. Kil kol Hashemos HaMeyuchasim L'Kel Yisparachim Shemos Nigzorim. They are root words. They have a holy root, a holy source. Im L'Fi Yachas HaPu'ulois. Elov, Olifi Hahayishara Lishle Muso. They represent an element, some element of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, which is thoroughly impossible for us to understand. So he's saying over here something very, very deep. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many names, and this unfortunately has been a source of misleading, because each name obviously captures another dimension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this leads to people making Hashem into many gods. You're splintering Hashem into multiple gods. If Hashem has so many different names, he's called Kel, Elohim, Shakai, Tzavakos. Oh, so there are really many gods. There is a confederation of Hashem. Hashem is not a single God. Hashem is a confederation. He's an alliance. All part of the team. There's a team called Hashem. And he has many members on his team, but Hashem is not one. Hashem, this is like a very, very deep apikorsis here. Very deep apikorsis to go say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really just a confederation of collection of different gods. Many people have been misled to come to this. And therefore, the part, yeah?
It's like again that the missionaries, you tell them that the Pasuk Shema Yisrael,
Hashem,
Hashem Echad, but Hashem is spelled differently. And Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Yitkei, Hello, Kainu. So from there they
make a whole Torah. Yeah. Because since we do have many different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this has been misleading. And when Mashiach will come, it will be clear as day that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have many names, Echad, it's not a confederation. It's not multiple gods. It's one God, and each name captures one dimension of Hashem's essence. But Hashem is only one. The Omar Bahayim Ahu Yashem Achashem Echad, right? Tulemar Shekamoshahu Echad, Ken Yikari Oz B'Shem Echad Levad. Okay, then he's going back and he's saying what we said before, Vizhu Moira Al Etzem Levad Vloshu Nigzar. Hashem is one. V'chein Tig Minas and Vesiskalim Alchusad Hashem Al Kol Yosve Ara Bidona. He Hashem's Malchus will be revealed upon all the inhabitants of the world. Yiflechun Kodem Hashem, they will serve Hashem. Kisaf Chad, one shoulder. Are Shmei Yatsib Olma, his name will be established in this world. Less bar mine, there will be none other than Hashem. Okay, we'll stop over here. It's very late. And Hashem will continue this tomorrow. We'll take a very short break. After the break, I want to learn with you.
I left cake up here with the Chinesians, my mother, but I also have these little things for the Yad of Tefillin. If you have a plastic cover that protects the Tefillin, this is a new thing which is very stretchable. If you take off that cover and you can see the tefillin, it has a big square opening so you don't have to look through a little circle.
Yeah. It doesn't fit in with, you know,
I don't know why.
It doesn't fit in the box.
No. He said he couldn't get it, but there's no box that matches with the cup.
If it doesn't fit, let me know.
No, I understand. You once gave me one a long time ago.
I don't know.
I think it didn't work. I was trying to put it away with it. Whatever.
I know.
I heard. I've been listening all morning. Yeah. How are you? My stamina is good. Because I'm doing 7-8 miles. First week I did 9 miles one day.
My pleasure. This is the
I'm so weak compared to what I used to be.
The
original ghetto is the Hashemite
name. Yeah, it's right here.
He said, Rabbi Davis.
Yeah.
You know who he is, right?
Yes.
He also said over here.
This is the ghetto one.
Yeah. And my son used to go to a shiur after this from Rabbi Davis.
Rabbi Davis is one of the most influential people in the entire world.
He's what?
He's one of the most influential people in the entire world.
He was one of the translations.
How many people, your people, are affected by his translation?
What did he write? All of a sudden I see Moshe's name again and again. So I texted him back. I said,
What are you doing up at this time
and
of the day?
But today I see, what freaked me out really was he answered some of the questions that they put, and his bekias on certain things really scared me.
Wow.
Because he quoted Yerushalmi, quoted it this.
Okay, I gotta go see him. Now you're getting really curious.
I'm very
That's a nachas.
Yeah, it scared me. I don't know what he's been doing.
He's been
learning too much.
You do know what he's been doing.
I know. I said he's been doing something.
I saw him a few months ago. He lives
now. He lives on Lakewood.